Scripture reading this morning will be from Titus chapter 2, found on page 1858. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things that you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you.
Lord, we come before you. We've praised your name, we've confessed our sins, we've heard words of hope from you. Lord, your scripture has been open throughout this service so far. But Lord, pray that may all these words that have been spoken from your word, and especially these now from Paul's letter to Titus, may they make their way deep inside our hearts and souls and minds to shape us and form us into the people you'd have us be. I pray that the words which will now be spoken, may they be your words and not mine. I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. How many of you have had someone in your life take you under their wing, just kind of help you, maybe at work or maybe in church, maybe in the community, or is there someone who has really stood out in your life because they believed in you? Anyone? I can wait here all morning, it's okay. No, it's important to hear from you, and for others to hear as well, that there have been people who've invested in your lives, that there have been people who have been important in your life. For myself, my grandfather is one of them. But there was also one man in a church when I was growing up. His name was Bob Bolt. He seemed ancient. Probably he's about my age now, so yeah, that's... shows you how you change your perspective over the years. But he saw that I was walking down a path that probably wasn't a very good path. I loved my parents, but they both were angry people. And a lot of that anger stems from growing up in Holland during the war. But it also stems from being part of a church where they were always seen as being not quite good enough. And from my father especially. That was hard. Bob Bolt came alongside me, and he just, one night, he just kind of showed up at my parents' place, and he asked if I would go out for coffee with him. Now, he drove about 60 kilometers to get to our place, And he took me to a little coffee shop in the small village of Murillo. And he just said, I see you. And I kind of, well, yeah, I'm sitting right across from you. He said, no, he says, I see that there is so much in you, so much potential, but your anger is just destroying it all. And he says, why are you angry? And I said, look at the family I live in, come on. And he said, but you have a choice. And this is something my grandfather echoed later on. He said, you have a choice to be angry or not. Anger is not something you have to feel. My grandfather later said, look for somebody that you respect and imitate them to become the kind of person that they are. But I think back of Bob Bolt, and then I got married, we had kids, and then God called us into ministry. And Bob Bolt was the gentleman I went to, and this is about 25 years later, to say, do you believe God's calling me into ministry? And he said, yes. He says, I believe that since we had coffee in that small coffee shop. He remembered that night. It's important that we recognize, we see the people around us, that we also then take the time to invest. Our passage this morning comes from a letter that the Apostle Paul, one of the early great missionaries in the church, wrote to a young colleague named Titus, whom he was mentoring, and he had left him behind on the island of Crete to carry on leading a church that Paul had planted when he was shipwrecked there on his way to Rome. And now Paul's in Rome waiting trial before Caesar, and he's hearing things kind of coming back from Crete. And apparently Crete wasn't necessarily an easy church to lead. So Paul stays in touch with Titus, and he offers him advice. And he offers him some guidance. He offers him encouragement, sharing what he's learned about what it takes to lead a church and what needs to be taught and what needs to be modeled as well. See, Paul wants to help Titus, but also us as well, to put church difficulties in perspective. Those who hang in there, as Titus did, will discover in time the power and the contentment that comes from being faithful to God while being faithful to the church. Reality is that even when the Holy Spirit's working, and the Holy Spirit works in His church, in its church, don't ever think differently. Church life is still about sweat. It's about tears. As is anything that's important in life. And there's nothing more important than the church, which is the hope of the world today. Do you realize that you are the greatest hope that Lacombe has? You may not always think that way. You may not always feel that way, but that's who you are. You are the hope of Lacombe County because God has placed you here to offer His hope to the people here. There's nothing more important than Jesus and the healing, the hope, the joy that He brings us from God. Jesus set up the church to be a model of what the kingdom of God is, to show the world what forgiveness, what grace, what unity, what character, what faith, what pleasure in life can really be. We don't always do it well because sin is in the church just like it's everywhere else, but that is what the place of the church is. That's what your place is here in Lacombe. Paul, in this part of the letter to Titus, a man he calls son at the beginning of the letter, well, he focuses on what each of the different age groups and the church need to concentrate on in order to be healthy, to be a group of people who are following Jesus as best as they can, always keeping their eyes on who Jesus is. And it begins with the older members of the church. Why? Because you got the life experience. You understand life. You know life. You know that life is filled with joy and it's filled with hurt. It is filled with many relationships, but it's also filled with times of loneliness. And you understand as well that Jesus came not just to die on the cross for our sins, which is so important, but that Jesus also came to bring healing, to bring peace, to bring hope. I keep coming back to that word hope because we can't live without hope. Jesus reminds us of how precious we are to God, to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus points the way to creating a community where people can flourish, where people can be blessed while they're blessing others. So Paul starts by addressing the older men of the church. And that's because you have the most influence in the church. You have the most influence in the county. You see, you may not believe that because we have a society and a culture that focuses on youth. But it's been shown time and time again through lots of different studies that a male figure, an older male figure, is such a positive presence, a positive influence on young people. There's something in us that looks to older men. We need models. We need examples of how to live life and how to live it well. And if our older generations give up on the church and on the young, who are they going to look to? They're going to look to sports heroes? To vloggers? Where are they going to look? So Paul says you need to be men of good character. Be temperate. Temperate means not only about drinking, but also in life. You know, don't get so freaked out about stuff that happens. Take that life experience and realize that things happen, but that God's in control. And trust God. Live in a way that you're worthy of respect. Work on self-control. Self-control can be so hard. But you have so much life experience to help you realize how to live with self-control. Be strong in faith. Be strong in love. Hang in there. Endure. Persevere. Things may not go the way that you had wanted them to go, but don't give up. Especially don't give up on the church and the youth. Don't give up on the community. When you walk away, younger people say, it's not important. So why should I invest myself into it? So older men, be a model for the younger generations. They look to you. Paul moves on to older women, and again, it's character that he focuses on. Be reverent or holy in the way that you live. Watch your words. Don't slander or gossip. Don't get addicted to wine. Teach what's good. You know, the younger generations learn about life by watching the older generations. That's why Paul's telling Titus to focus on the character of the older men and women to help them realize how important your lifestyles are to the health of the church. And the point is to help the younger generations navigate through life and to do it well. See, when you've earned respect for your character, you can teach others as well. See, then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, be self-controlled and pure, busy at home, kind and subject to their husbands. Now, you may disagree on what you believe a wife or mother's role in the family is. That's a different sermon, a different topic. But the point here is that older women are called to mentor, to guide younger women, to live in such a way that no one will malign or criticize the Word of God. See, it always points back to God. To being followers of Jesus that reflect who Jesus is and how he's called us to live. There is nothing more important that you can do than to invest in the life of someone younger. You know, our culture and our society, there are so many good things about living in Canada. But the reality is, there's a lot of brokenness, a lot of broken families. There's a lot of single parents struggling to make ends meet. There's a lot of children in our schools who blame themselves because their parents have broken up. Or they can't quite understand why mom or dad isn't there anymore. We have a culture that's saying, you know what, God's not all that important, so we can figure out what's right and wrong ourselves. But then one person says, well, this is right, and another says that's right, and our young people, our young children, they say, well, what's really right? And they look to you. Now, life is different. You may not understand life today. You may not understand all the computer and the social media and everything else. You don't have to. But you can show what character is. You can show what being faithful to God is. You can show what steadiness is. You can show what caring and compassion is all about. One of the most powerful things you can do is to encourage and bless a young person or adult, take an interest in their life, offer to sit with them regularly to share life together. A young woman learns a lot from her mom on how to be a mom and how to navigate relationships and everything else. But there are some things a young woman, a teenage girl, cannot talk to her mom about so easily. So if she has someone that she can turn to in the church who's already shown an interest, who already shows that they love and care about her, that gives her another place to learn, another example, another person she can turn to and say, I don't get life. I don't understand this stuff. What would you suggest? Amen. I was a youth pastor in Michigan. As my kids were going through high school, my sons did not always feel comfortable coming up to me to talk about stuff. I am so thankful for those men in that congregation that took the time to take my sons to baseball games, out for coffee, to take them to their workshops and show them how to use tools and different things like that. Because it gave my sons somebody else to talk to when life was just confusing and hard. I was blessed as a father by those men. My sons were blessed. The reason my kids are still in the church today, for the most part, not all of them are, but the ones who are, they will always point, not to my wife and I so much, but they will point to those people that invested in them and said, you know what? He really cared. We were only there for 4 years, and they knew it. But he still said, you're important enough that I want to get to know you. God's given us a model of mentoring throughout the Bible. There's a prophet Elijah who mentored Elisha, the prophet after him. Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, he took the apostle Paul under his wing and mentored him. Paul, nobody wanted anything to do with Paul. Paul had killed all these Christians, thrown them in prison, had them beaten. Was there any Christian leader that was going to trust themselves with him? Barnabas says, I'll do it. I'll take him under my wing. And it didn't always go easy. They split as well. And Paul took Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul, I think it was Timothy that he took. But it didn't matter. That example of mentoring, of taking under wing, of saying, you are important, I'm not giving up on you. I see potential in you. Barnabas saw the potential in Paul. Nobody else did. There's a couple, Priscilla and Aquila, who took a young preacher, Apollos, under their wing to help him mature as a follower of Jesus and as a preacher. We don't graduate seminary as very good preachers. We preach our students, our student notes for years. And Apollos must have just kind of preached what he had learned at the feet of whoever he was learning at. But Priscilla and her husband said, hey, look. Priscilla and Aquila said, hey, look, here's how you can be a better preacher. Here's how you can touch lives for Christ. And of course, Jesus is our best example. He took 12 different men, and he said, I'm going to invest in you for 3 years. And he knew one of them was going to mess up on him and betray him. He knew that they were all going to abandon him later on. And he said, that's okay, I'm still going to invest in you. And because of that, we got the church today. See, Jesus not only taught, he also showed in his life what living out his words means in everyday life. And he encouraged them time and time again. Bill Hybels, a pastor in the Chicago area, he shares a story about being at a conference and going into a restaurant. And he's at a table And he just notices this one waitress, and she is working so hard, and he's impressed. And what he does is something really special. He takes aside the waitress who's working the table 18, that was his table, and those around, and he says, you know what? I see your work ethic. I see your drive. I see how you're able to juggle so many things all at the same time. He said, well done. That's amazing. I could never do that. You're such a hard worker. You care about your customers. Later, he gets a note from this waitress, thanking him profusely, saying this was the first time anyone believed in her. And all he had done was believe in her capacity to do great things and then let her know. That conversation likely changed that waitress of table 18 for the rest of her life. Just knowing there's one person who cares and who believes. The power of encouragement and people simply noticing you can't be underestimated. There is so much negative feedback in people's lives today. I feel sorry for young adults and for teens because all you hear is millennials. Oh, you know what? They're self-satisfied. They want to start at the top of the ladder. Oh, they don't understand what hard work is. Oh, they don't do this or they don't do that. My experience with millennials is they understand the world so well today. They're living in a world where they know they're going to have probably 15 different jobs. Nobody is willing to invest in them like bosses used to invest in us where we could have 20 years, 25, 40 years in the same job. Now they are just seen as disposable pieces, and they are learning to navigate life. They are learning as well, and they have taught me that, you know what, it's not about how much stuff you have, it's about the difference you make in the world. They are not as worried about making money and about retirement. They get told all the time they have to. But they want to make their communities a better place to live. We can learn so much from our young adults and from our young people. Don't give up on them. Look at the positives of who they are. Recognize we live in a different culture, a different time, and learn from them. You know, find ways to speak good God words into their lives, and they won't forget. Mentoring allows you to do this on a sustained basis in somebody's life. Can you imagine the power of being able to speak God words, good words, words of encouragement and blessing into somebody's life over a period of time? You'll not only change them, you will change everybody that they reach out and touch as well. That's why Paul tells Titus to be an example as well, to be a mentor. Encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what's good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, soundness, or healthy speech that can't be condemned. And again, the goal is so that those who are opposing Titus will be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us, to say about the followers of Jesus. See, being a follower of Jesus is so much more than just simply being saved from our sins. It's about the power of the cross to bring healing and hope, to bring about changed lives filled with integrity and holiness as God's children, and to be an example to the world of the possibilities of what a Jesus-following community can do where God has placed it. A place where we invest in each other to help each other develop talents and dreams in order to become who God's created them and you to be. It's about a church being shaped by encouragement and blessing, being that same kind of presence wherever God has placed us, in our schools, workplaces, and neighborhoods. See, mentoring is not just something you can do within the church. You can find someone in your neighborhood and say, I'm going to invest in you. And you will change that person and you will begin to change the neighborhood and the community. Bill Hybels points out that when you're disrespected, your performance drops by 50%. If we're going to experience the best our people can be, we must respect them, especially our young people. We need to encourage them. We need to let them know that we believe in them. You know, that they're capable of amazing things. And it's our job as leaders to help bring the very best out of our young people and our young adults. Treating people with respect is a good Christian practice. Showing people we believe in them because of who they are in Christ is good, necessary Christian practice. And it's these good Christian practices that make good church practices as well. And will help us to grow as Jesus' body here in Lacombe County. To help us grow as followers of Jesus. Strong in who we are because we're investing in each other and those in our community. You know, there is always going to be some people who are going to say, well, what's in it for me? You know what? Mentoring blesses those who mentor as well. Helps you to understand our world in a much better way through younger eyes. It helps your world to stay big instead of growing smaller. We have so much to learn from our youth and young adults about how to live within our ever-changing culture. I make it a point to find one or two people every year to mentor. And that has allowed me to see God working in ways I could never imagine if I hadn't invested in their lives. If you want to see how God is working out there, start investing in each other. Because as they learn to trust you and as they learn to experience your encouragement, love, they'll share their lives, they'll share what's going on, and you will get a different picture of where you live, and you'll see ways that God is working that will have you on your knees in thanksgiving. Now, for those of you who are being mentored, if you are looking for a mentor, go to your elders and ask them to help you find someone. Because you'll be given encouragement. You'll be given a solid foundation for life with real-life examples of how to live as a Jesus follower through the good and the hard times. You'll gain friendships with people that you might never have before, making your world bigger too, helping you understand the world through different eyes. Having a mentor helps you see God in different ways through someone who has walked with God longer than you. Something special really happens when you invest in young people, adults, and new believers. The church becomes re-energized with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit as relationships are made and deepened. The church gets blessed and it becomes a greater blessing. And that's just remarkable. That's wonderful. That's God at work. Amen. Father, help us to remember that faith is not just what we believe, but that faith is about relationships. It all starts with our relationships with you, but it flows into our relationships with each other. Lord, this morning we looked at mentoring, and Lord, may we find people to invest in, and Lord, may we find people who will invest in us as well, so that we can learn to see you working in different ways and powerful ways, in ways that we could never see in our own. Lord, I pray a blessing on Bethel Church as they look to be a blessing here in Lacombe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In response, the praise team is going to lead us in singing Shout to the North.